Blog Talk Radio.
In a world of fake everything, one thing that's hard to find is real Christian people. They're out there, and we just happen to know a few. Sit back, relax, as I, Red Words Lou, interview Christians just like us. Hey, everybody. Hope you're having a wonderful evening out there. Here on Cape Cod on the East Coast, we get ourselves some snow. It's snowing out and it's windy and it's blowing everywhere and it's just freaky. Anyways, we probably have a freaky show for you tonight. We have a special guest tonight named Scotty E of the Reigning Redemption Channel on YouTube, and he also is the host of the 828 show on Saturday nights on the TBC radio network. So him and his wife, they have a ministry doing the Reigning Redemption Channel, putting out some videos, having some good chat, bringing the word to people through a unique way, and that is through music. And great people. I've known them for a while, and I love these guys. But anyways, what I'm going to do is get everything set up here, and we're going to play one of Scotty's songs. We'll pick one that's not too long. We will, how about play The Rose of Sharon? That's a good song. And maybe he can tell us a little bit about it when he comes on. So we're going to play this. We'll get him on, and then we'll get the show started. Here we go. This is called The Rose of Sharon by Scotty.
The rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me.
I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hens of the field, that ye stir not up, nor wake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roer young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O, my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day breaks, and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bethel.
All right, there we go. The Rose of Sharon by Scotty E. And let me go here. And let's give him a round of applause there. Maybe not. I can't find my applause button. Hey, Scotty, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, my brother?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Getting a little bit of what you guys are going through right now. That cold weather.
Boy, it's so cold outside. They're saying our wind chills tonight will be like minus 20 to 30.
Can you even, like, make it to your car? I mean, do you go outside and just freeze? You know?
I figure it's just better to stay home.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it is crazy weather, all that cold weather. I mean, I've been watching things, you know, on the news. I think Drudge Report, you know, with the wind chill, it's negative 60 and so on and so forth. I mean, come on, man. Pretty soon we're going to have to be polar bears because they're going to be migrating down this way.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's just, I don't know, man. It's been a while since we had this. But it's here.
Yeah, it's here. It's here. Hey, it's winter, and it's what we have to deal with. So, praise God, you know, we'd be warm in the sun, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, boy.
Yeah, there you go. All right. For everyone that's out there, this is Scott E. Like I said, he has his channel, Raining Redemption Channel. He is the host or co-host, however you look at it. I don't know. Whoever's in charge between you and Shauna on the 828 show. But I assume you're both one. So, so why don't you tell us a little bit about Scotty E, you know? Who's Scotty E? What's Scotty E like? You know, where'd Scotty E come from?
Oh, boy. Such a long story there.
Well, you can make it as short or as long as you want. Just a little bit of your background.
Well, you know, where to start? You know, I grew up in a semi-decent-sized family, man. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We was born and raised Catholic. We went to, private school and went through the whole thing, you know, with schooling and stuff. And but I tell you what, man, it's just, it's pretty exciting at times, you know? I mean, just, got three other brothers and a sister, man, that, oh boy, love them all. You know, we just got a heck of a family. They're just good people, man. But it's interesting how much of an impact, I mean, just growing up together, how much influence it has on what I do today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all grew up playing instruments. It's funny because I'm a lefty.
Yeah.
And I got my oldest brother, he picked up the guitar first. My brother next to him, he picked up the drums. So I got left with the bass guitar.
Okay.
And then the interesting part was growing up, my parents picked me up on the left-handed bass. I couldn't play it. I was like, I didn't know how to play it. It fell awkward.
Yeah.
Well, my brother, oldest brother, moved on and put his guitar down, and I picked it up one day, and it was a right-handed guitar.
Okay.
And I could play it smoothly. I was there. I couldn't play instruments left-handed. I'm so ambidextrous, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that started my track early in the playing around with music and everything. I never really wanted to be in a band, but I just love playing music, you know. But, you know, I was diving in after a while. You know, played around a couple gigs with a few people. I was just interested in writing. Never cared for the stage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I definitely troubled in school, man. You know, I mean, back in basically when I started high school. It's funny because me and Shauna met at that young of an age.
Okay.
Way back when we was kids. And we was going out for like, seemed like kids, man. I was like, I think I was 14 or 15. She was 12 or 13. And just got into high school and we was going out for a couple months. And I actually broke up with her. You're going to have to ask her about that when you interview her.
Okay.
But then I got heavily involved in the drugs and everything. Mm-hmm. Some pretty heavy use of drugs and a lot of rebellion. A lot
right.
of rebellion. Mm-hmm. And through all those years, it was that downward spiral of rebellion leads to suicidal tendencies. And actually, I'm not embarrassed to admit it, but in high school, my nickname used to be Satan. It was how bad it was.
Hey. Get out of nickname. Well, what a nickname
yeah.
to have, huh? I mean, but that would be a badge of honor when you're in high school, I would assume. You know, at least if someone was calling me Satan, I would be like, cool, yeah, all right. You know, I've reached the pinnacle. At least the way
I was. You know, exactly. I mean, I fed on that. And,
yeah.
You know, I do a lot of the biggest thing that I was doing in school was artistry. You know, did a lot
mm-hmm.
of pencil drawings and everything. And the interesting part was I always drew something that rebelled against God.
Interesting.
And
yeah.
it was... I mean, some of these pictures that I drew were just horrific, disgusting. I mean, just I honestly chose to forget what, you know, what I was drawing at the time. But I always
right.
believed in God, but never could see it through Catholicism. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, laying in my bed every night when I was stoned or tripping or snorted up or whatever, I come home at night and I talk to God. I say, God, I know you're real. Talk to me. I know you're real. And I'd hash it out with him, you know, give him a few choice words and everything, but I never got that response I was looking for at that time, you know.
Right.
And then afterwards, you know, graduated high school, went through my thing and started the working world, and the first real job that I actually had, lo and behold, I came across working with Robbie Robb.
Okay.
And so we worked together for a while, I don't know, about a good year. Me and him were talking a lot, mainly about the music aspect, you know? Completely
yeah.
about music. We had the same taste in music and metal and this and that and that. We started hanging out a lot. It was about a good year. And then I think it was one night we was hanging out. It was after work. And I think I dropped him back off at his house. Yeah, I was dropping him back off at his house. And this is the first time I heard him speak to me in a spiritual way.
Mm-hmm.
He says to me, wait till you meet God. He's the coolest guy. And I just found it rather confusing at that moment. You know, it's like, the hell is this cat talking about?
Right.
I didn't hate on it. I was just like, well, that's strange. Where'd that come from, you know?
Yeah.
And I lived about a good half hour in the other direction. So I'm driving home. I had a couple beers in me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This was 20-some years ago. And I was on my highway. And I was listening to you know, how do you know how to pronounce his name? Yngwie Malmsteen? Yngwie Malmsteen? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know who he is. Yeah, I think it's Yngwie. But whatever
Yngwie,
it is, I know who he is.
I was
pretty good, actually.
To this, oh, boy, yeah. Oh, I love his guitar work.
Yeah.
I was listening to a song of his, and it was on this is the only song that I still have from him because it rings so deeply in my heart. The song was called My Resurrection. And I was driving on the highway home, and I was pondering what Robbie Robb said.
Right.
Like, what do you mean, meet God? And I'm sitting there, I was like, my life's screwed anyways. You know, I had nowhere to, I had nothing, you know. I'm driving home, that resurrection song comes on, and I'm listening to the song, and the words are speaking to me deeply. I mean, it was like, at one part, he was singing the chorus of the song, and it said, my soul is free, I've got wind beneath my wings. Yesterday's gone, my heart sinks. I'm sitting there listening to these lyrics.
Uh-huh.
I was like, yeah, that's like a spiritual awakening. But yet at the same time as the first time my spiritual awareness woke up and I felt this presence out in the distance in the sky. And I, you know, obviously I'd never experienced anything like this before.
Huh.
I was like, whoa, what is that? I could connect with it at a distance. It felt like eternity away.
Uh-huh.
I said, what's going on? So I'm still driving, and that chorus is still going. You know, sitting there, no more demons in my head and all this and that. It was just a very spiritual song for me.
Right.
And that presence that was in the sky in the distance was getting closer and closer and stronger. It almost got to the... It just... Oh, man, I can't explain it, Lou.
Overwhelming?
I can't... beyond it.
Beyond it.
it was beyond that. It was so strong.
Saturation.
That I actually lost... Yeah, I lost awareness of my physical body. And it kept on getting stronger and stronger the more I'm driving down the highway. And he's sitting there singing the chorus, my resurrection, my resurrection. I was like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and all of a sudden I look over, I look straight ahead, more towards the air. I was like, uh-oh, it's going to hit. It's going to hit hard. And here, all of a sudden, it felt like it's just a punch, a spiritual punch.
Yeah.
And the absolute presence of God. I mean, perfect. It's perfect.
Wow.
It's too perfect. The ultimate joy, the ultimate peace, the ultimate love, the ultimate grace and mercy. Like, I can't even get close to that today. All hit me at once. And I was
wow.
just almost instantly gone in the flesh. It was that it was so spiritual. And I knew. I just knew. I said, God, is that you? I heard that voice loud, deep within. Yes. Oh, man,
wow.
I cried. It was so weird because when he said yes.
Yeah.
It radiated through my whole body. I could see it was so powerful. And it was, I just, oh my God, I cried. And this presence was so strong. And I remember all of a sudden, I had no boldness.
Right.
And all of a sudden, boldness came out of me. I said, God, what is trust? To this day, he didn't speak the word. He just revealed it, and it
okay.
radiated my body, and I had the answer without a word spoken.
Wow.
And the next question I asked was, God, what is a friend? Same thing. It radiated through my body. He didn't even have to speak it. I just knew the answer. And that presence, I'm going to be honest with you, brother. Oh my gosh. That's the closest to heaven I've been. It was so,
wow.
I mean, it was almost out of body. I just wasn't there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know that feeling. Yeah. Praise God. So
then,
were you driving? You were driving when this happened, right? Did you pull over? Were you just still driving? I'm trying to wrap my head around. You're still driving.
I didn't know I was behind the wheel.
Wow.
I couldn't see. The glory was so thick. I forgot I was in the flesh. It was that strong. I lost consciousness of this natural world. It was that strong. I don't remember how long I was in it. All I remember, I was getting close to home.
Yeah.
And the biggest buck jumped out in front of the car. And that thing I've ever seen has so many points on his antlers. I was like,
yeah.
And it snapped. It just jumped out, and I snapped out of it. I said, like, whoa. I mean, this thing was a monster. I was like, whoa. But I'll say, it just walked across the road. It's not like I slammed my brakes. I seen it coming out of the woods. I was like, and then it brought me back to the natural realm.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, what just happened? I said, whoa, God, that was so awesome.
Do you think there was anything symbolic about, like, this big buck with all the, you know, points on it, just walking out in front, and then that brought you back? You think there was any kind of symbology or anything there, or just something that happened? Yeah, have you ever thought of that?
Honestly, I've waited out, you know, I've checked both sides. I'm saying, well, first of all, I was like, maybe Satan threw that buck out there to get me out of God, you know. But it was perfect peace when it happened. And it was interesting because I really do. Everything's on purpose. There's a reason why. And I never pondered on it enough to really get the answer I was looking for out of that, you know.
Yeah.
I just knew that moment was the beginning of life.
Amen. You know, I would think something like the big buck and everything. You know, when you see that, you know, if you're a hunter or even if you're just a whatever person looking and enjoying nature, that is sort of symbolic of majesty, like majestic. You know, with a big rack. You know, this is like authority in the forest. You know, and I don't know, to see that going on, and you're in the spirit, man, and you're just like, wow, whoa. That's something, man. That's something.
It was a prize buck.
Yeah.
I've never seen a buck that big with my own eyes, ever. Just that one moment. And it was interesting, you know, I'm driving home. You know, I only had a couple miles home, so I got home. I step out of the car. And I look up into this, and I remember saying this. I look up into this. I never knew the word. And I was raised Catholic, you know.
Right, yeah, just like me.
Never knew the word. And I look into the stars. I say, God, how many children? This is the first thing, you know, I was just, my first actual prayers. Say, how those stars represent your children. It, you know, and the thing is, he talks about Abraham.
Yeah.
And the stars and the sand.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I was like, that scripture came out and I didn't even know it. You know? But,
yeah.
Of course, next day at work, I was like, Robbie, I met God. And then that just exploded our spiritual relationship that we have right. with him, you know. And then he did a lot. He taught me for a while, you know, taught me for a good
yeah.
while. But, oh, boy. To this day, I've never experienced anything that strongly as the day of my salvation. This most
right.
beautiful moment that life-changing.
It
you
is,
know, and I was supposedly the ugly duckling of the family, you know. I was the one that got just the bad seed, you know, causing
yep.
all the trouble, the ruckus.
Mm-hmm.
And overnight, and the only Bible we had in the house was a Catholic Bible, and I started reading that thing up. So I grew into, you know what I mean?
Yep, I absolutely know what you mean. I told you my Bible story with the Catholic Bible on the end table. I brought it into the Catholic Church, and then I got mad because they weren't reading it. And I spent all night tagging it, you know, putting the tabs on it on all the books. So we're out of here.
Oh, boy. But that's
God.
My story. It's a life.
Yeah, so... Now you came home, and now you had this experience, right? And overwhelming. And now
mm-hmm.
you were married.
No,
when the,
actually,
no.
Okay. Me and Shana broke up at the early age. You know,
okay.
we was really
yep.
young. And I think it was about a month or two later. We met up again at a Mother's Day party. Because families and all that stuff, we all knew each other somehow or another. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just, and this funny thing was, work actually let us go home early. And they never knew on a Sunday, and it was Mother's Day. It was actually mandatory overtime at the job we was at the time.
Uh-huh.
And they let us go home early, and I was like, well, I get to go see, you know, go see Mother's Day. And I ran, and Shana was there from her, you know, for just brother, sister, whole, you know, her brother and sister and all, my sister. They were going out one time, but a long time ago. But we knew each other from that. And at that point, she was in the final stages of the anorexia.
Okay.
When I showed up, you know, at the Mother's Day party, and I'd never seen her for years. And it was totally different what we were talking this time, though. It was about a month or two after I saved. I was like, hey, you know, we talked for a little bit. We'd all laugh and giggling.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, let's go out sometime. She's like, sure. And her side of the family has never seen her that happy since anorexia started in her life.
Okay.
And they're all game, you know.
Yeah.
And we basically grew together in Christ. Now, she has a story about her salvation. I don't let her reveal that, you know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't long after we started going out again, and she got saved quick. Praise God. And that's an interesting story, watching her go through the deliverance of
mm-hmm.
anorexia. But, I think we got married about 2 years later. I think a year, almost 2 years later.
Praise God. Yeah, so was that, I'm just wondering, you know, I'm thinking in my head here, me and my cartoon mind, like, you haven't seen her, and obviously she changed from the last time you seen her. Going through the anorexia stuff, and you come in now. Do you talk about your experience right off the bat, or you know, were you still like, you know, maybe not sure, or you know, mentioning it? Just wondering.
It's just actually the first night we went out, it was I told her straight up about the experience.
Okay.
And I was actually, I thought I was Mr. Ministry day one.
Like most people.
I chopped that up so bad. Yeah, I didn't. I was so hungry for God. That's all I knew to do.
Right.
And it was a horrible minute. It was a horrible witness. I mean, I know I was. I didn't know anything. But no, it was the first thing I brought up. The very first thing. Now, at the time, obviously, I was still involved with doing a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
You know, whatever I get my hands on. Or shove
right.
up my nose, you know, smoke or.
Or whatever. Yeah,
and,
I got you.
Yeah. But the interesting part was I was playing with a band. It was a garage band. And I was on the way to. I was going to pick up Sean. It was our second date. But I stopped by the garage band houses on the way there. And I was like, man, I can't make band practice today, man. I met me somebody, you know.
Yeah.
Like, hey, it's all right. Come on, man. Let's smoke up. So, yeah. So I got stoned. And it was, I picked up Sada. And I tell you what, conviction dropped up. Oh my gosh. It hit so hard because I was, you know, when you're at that young of an age, I think I was 19 at the time. I was like,
yeah.
Well, I'll get her to eat. I'll just give her the munchies, man. You
know? Right, right, right.
It don't work that way. You know, so I was like, Shauna, I'm sorry. I got high right before I got over here because the conviction was so strong.
Right.
She said, oh, you're okay. You know, I had this, I had a bag of weed on me too.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you what, man, for how much I smoked up, oh my God, I should still be high. You know?
Yeah.
But that day, that moment, if I was going to be of any use to see Shauna live through anorexia,
mm-hmm.
I knew that couldn't be a part of my life. And for how much of a mental hook that I had on smoking up, I would say it was almost impossible for me to walk away like that moment where I took my
yeah.
pipe and my bag, just threw it out the window. And there was not
mm-hmm.
one thought to ever pick that back up. It was like a moment. It was just an instantaneous deliverance. And all the other stuff just disappeared at that moment.
Yeah.
No longer did I, you know, drop tabs, snort me some line. You know, it just instantaneously
yep.
quit that moment. So
yeah.
Things were rapidly changing when me and China started going back out again at that early age. Rapidly changing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm sorry to cut you off there, but.
No, you're fine.
Just. Okay. All right. But that now, I'm trying to. I don't know, maybe have people visualize this, though, but was she more impressed with you? Did she like you more, do you think? Or were you, like, sort of weird now, you know?
No, she... The funny thing is, even before she was saved, she had so many supernatural experiences, which she actually had... She had a supernatural experience of her own that was totally off the wall, totally different from my experience.
Uh-huh.
But she always believed, but that moment that defined her, solidified her salvation, I'll let her explain. But she
yep.
grew up knowing God, and she's always had serious spiritual insight in the spirit realm. It's like... Like one time when I was sitting there trying to commit suicide,
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a big old knife up to my heart, ready to fall on that thing. Because it was just wasn't worth it. You know, life wasn't worth living. This is before, you know.
Yeah.
She goes, I seen you at the lake. And the lake where Scotty's home. You know, it's my little hangout spot. Because there's a little lake in
camp.
Our neighborhood. Yeah. She goes, I seen you there.
Wow.
I seen what you was going to do, and I prayed. And she wasn't stepping into her spiritual walk yet. But she was actually walking. You know what I mean? The revelation
yeah.
she was getting. So, actually, I was more surprised about her walk of the visions that she was having. My stuff just wasn't even comparable. I mean, it was just... It's amazing some of the things that I was like, wow, you see that stuff.
Yeah.
So it was like a compliment of each other's walk instantaneously. We just both rolled with it. So she wasn't like, man, you weird. There's something wrong
yeah.
with you, man. You know? And her family was, they tried for so long trying to, you know, doctor her to get her through
mm-hmm.
anorexia.
Right.
But they said the moment that I came through, everything changed. This,
wow.
And I'm not giving kudos to myself. All I knew was God at that moment because I was so
right.
fresh in salvation. I was a hardcore God. And she was, you gotta remember, I mean, she was down to 70 pounds.
Wow.
At the age,
yeah.
late teens. And then her doctor, after, I think it was her doctor or somebody, said, you might as well, told her parents, you might as well start making funeral preparations. She's not going to
wow.
make it. And I came in right after that. And we both pretty much grew up with God together.
Yeah, yeah. It's just listening to that. It's almost like everything that was happening day by day, minute by minute, was like almost a Holy Ghost setup, man. You know?
Sneaky dog, man.
Yeah, yeah. And it just became like a big homicide scene because you guys both killed. You both died, man. Boom. Praise God, man. Praise God. That's an awesome testimony. It really is. I mean, I can't wait to get Sean on and talk to her on another Wednesday there, and then I'm sure everything will just tie right in together, you know, and have an understanding. Yeah. So now you're saved, and you know, you've given your life to Christ. And how long was it before you got married?
Okay,
two
right
years?
After, yeah, it was about 2 years after salvation.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. And she was actually on the final stages of being fully delivered from the anorexia. I mean, she was getting back to, there was a few other, you know, open doors and stuff, and
yeah.
we was working through that. It was about a 3-year process to get through that.
Yeah. Did she eat the wedding cake?
But she ate the wedding cake.
All right, praise God. Just wanted to know.
You know, I to be honest with you, I don't know if I smacked her in the face with it or what.
I did that.
You
to
know
my
how
wife.
Everybody.
It wasn't good. If you didn't, bravo to you.
She'll have to confirm that. I don't know.
Okay.
I can't remember. No,
wow.
me, I probably did, though.
All right,
but,
so you get delivered. Yeah. Go ahead, man.
Oh, my gosh, man. You know, after marriage, we just... We've always sought to be in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there was really never really an avenue at the time. And I just went with the flow. just like everything else, even up to this day, just go with the flow. And here, just every, it seems like everywhere we went, man, we were just preaching the gospel up to complete strangers.
Yep. Evangelizing.
Oh, well, I got some stories about that on the street, man. It's been fun.
Amazing testimony. But that's what you had. You have a testimony, man. You had this awesome testimony, and you were sharing it with everyone that you, you came in contact with, right?
Yeah. And then we moved out of town at that time, a little bit after marriage. And I got a new job. And talk about the blessing. I got a job in a machine shop, and I didn't even know what a machine was. But talk about favor. I went straight to the top in less than 2 or 3 years. They were asking me to run it. And people that had the 20 years experience were asking me questions. It's like, come on, man.
Really?
The only focus that I had was to preach the word in that place.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point where everybody, I mean, people were like, hey, I heard you pray. I said, I guess. And yeah, I started becoming known as the parking lot preacher or something. Or everybody said, yeah, I was like, wait till we clock out. We'll get together some prayer. There were times that, you know, it was 11 o'clock at night. It was afternoon shift. I told Sean, I was like, I don't know when I'm going to be home. How much ministry was done in that parking lot every night? It was fun.
Yeah.
And of all things, you know, the interesting part was when we was out of town, it seemed like we was marriage counselors the whole time, too. Everybody's ready to go Splitsville on their spouse. And it was like, oh, God.
Yep.
It's not that hard.
Right. And you guys become the counselors for everybody because everyone sees your marriage and they're like, oh, we want to have what they have. Yeah, we got to go talk to them, find out what they have, you know, and it's almost like an open door, but it can be overwhelming too. I have to admit that, you know, at least from my experience, but it's like when you did drugs, man, you're there ministering and you're praying with people and they may not, you know, fully wholeheartedly, you know, give their life to Christ or whatever, but just to see people be accepting of prayer and at least grasping for whatever's out there, you know, and trusting and believing in God. That's a high right there. I mean, that's like the best high there is, you know?
You're so right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome.
You know, it's like, I call that a seed bandit. It's plant a little seed.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're not, like you said, even at that moment, maybe they're not ready. But that little seed of hope lasts all eternity. And it might be the only thing they have at the end.
Yeah.
And it's, you're right. That is just the ultimate high right there is when you obey.
Right.
When God tells you to minister to somebody, you do it. And
you ain't
I remember
gonna be good
when
if you
I was, I know. I was going through a mess when, like, it seemed like the ministry was kind of taking off at that workplace I was at.
Yeah.
I was fighting some dark things, man. And it was just the dark demonic cloud was, you know, like the little cartoons with the rain cloud following you.
Mm-hmm. Like a Linus or something, you know.
I had one of those on me. It was so dark. I was just aware of this demon looming over me. And it actually was robbing me of the presence of God. And I was getting so mad. And I'm finding stuff, you know, Spirit of Destruction was one of them. spirit of religion was at that time. And I have all these people asking me about God. And I'm mad at God.
Yep.
I said, you ain't it. And I ain't going to deny anybody that. But it's like, yeah, I'll pray with you. And they turn around and walk away. I say, God, I tell you what, man. When you going to have somebody there, you know, crying and grumbling and getting all mad. And I've seen people get delivered and people win the lottery through a prayer.
You're still grumbling.
I'm still grumbling.
Yeah.
I said, God, you helping everybody out but me. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
But you know, in all that ministry, that set me free. It was just a constant obedience of helping others. That cloud just lifted. No huge battle, no... It just lifted. And the presence of God was just showed up like the first time after 3 years. That's how long
yeah.
it went through. It showed up and I just went to tears. I was like, oh my God, there's love. There's love again.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this in a long time. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah,
you know?
Pushed through it. You fought through it. You know, it's that refining fire, you know? Having that dross. Taking
yep.
it out, going through the fire, and just making you more pure. And, you know, sometimes we don't realize that that's happening with us, you know? And we just sort of look down at the situations, and we're not mindful of, hey, God's doing something here. You know?
True.
Yeah.
Constantly.
So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So why don't we shoot off into what's going on today with you? Basically eating up some time here. Time's going by. But what's going on with, you know, you had the YouTube channel, TDC Radio, and you were involved with that with Robbie Rob. And then you sort of, you know, what happened there? God just put a new desire in your heart or showed you a new direction. And now you have the Reigning Redemption channel and your music is sort of becoming more of the ministry.
Yeah. I mean, at the time with TDC, when we was there, and I think it was about almost a good month beforehand. And God did say, to start your own channel. It's like, oh, well, this ain't good. But
mm-hmm.
you kind of got to obey, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And at the moment, I mean, a lot of us lacked understanding why. And it seemed like at the moment it ended very badly
mm-hmm.
when we split it off. But then with time, with allowing time to heal and change, we realized the difference in the ministry direction that we both needed to go in.
Right.
And I actually never played my music for anybody until when I first started on TDC. It was the first recording I've ever done with a just any kind of recording. You know, I always played by ear,
right.
played by heart. But there was a moment on TDC that we had, I was inspired to put a song on there, and the recording was so bad, I mean, from my perspective today, but it was the stepping stone of the music ministry.
Okay.
And, yeah, that's definitely a staple in the ministry that we're operating in with Reigning Redemption. Is the music
mm-hmm.
ministry. There's many other things that God's revealing with Reigning Redemption as well. Not only just music, but more of a a strong video production, more of like a multimedia platform.
Okay.
But that's going to take time to build, obviously. Right now, I'm
right.
still strongly working on the music.
Mm-hmm.
But
and then you have your Patreon channel, right, where you put the music out on Patreon, and anybody can
mm-hmm.
listen to it, right?
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you do become a patron, it's only a buck.
A buck. To be a headbanger.
Yeah, you can be a headbanger. You just download the music, man. I mean, it's just, it's a free will, man. I'm not asking for your dollar. You know?
Right.
It's, music, the word of God, there's no price for it. There never will be.
Right.
Not that kind of price. I can't see charging, you know, everybody gets to hear the music. It's free. You know?
Yep.
It's just, if you want to donate, it's just like a ministry, man. It's a free will offering. If, listen to God. Not me.
Right. Right. Exactly. But it's there. And now that is another part of the Reigning Redemption ministry is that outlet to where people can go, they can listen and download, you know, your music. Now on the Reigning Redemption channel, I've noticed that you have done the video production part where you're actually, you know, showing all aspects of you playing all the different instruments, and you know, you get that feeling like, okay, here's this song, but you don't really understand what goes into it, how many different aspects they are in that song. You're not like a 5-piece band up there. You're you, and you may have like in the Rose of Sharon that we just listened to earlier, you know, Sean is in there, your wife. And then there's you doing the vocals, but pretty much all aspects of the music are produced by you, and it takes a long time to make one song, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's one that I put on the shelf that was written 3 years ago, and it got brought it back. Some songs have taken a couple weeks. I had a few songs that actually were written in a day, but then you go through the mixing process, and that could take a couple days. Then the video process, that's the most laborsome part, is doing the video. Timing and all this, I don't know, it's all laborsome, a labor of love, though. I enjoy
right.
each process. And the video production, I liked, we've talked about doing documentaries.
Okay.
I just, oh boy, the possibilities are endless. You know, I remember just walking the walk wondering what am I going to do when I grow up, you know?
Yeah.
And now it's like, gosh, man, is there enough time to do what you inspired me to do?
Right.
And I just walk with each moment at a time, you know? And eventually there's going to be a website with Reigning Redemption,
okay.
you know? One step at a time, baby steps.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, on top of doing all of this, now you have your own business that you run. Shauna's working. So on top of going to work and putting the hours in there and running a business, and I know how it is to run a business. I've had a business with all the hours that are involved with just running a business. That's nuts to do what you're doing. All I can say is it has to be God, because I never had time to do anything. I was so involved with billing and this and that. And, the, you know, the the job never stopped when I came home. You know, I ate, and then all of a sudden I'm doing all this other stuff, chasing money, this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, praise God, man, that you have the time to put into, you know, the channel and your music, you know, that God has allowed you to have that time. You know, it could be a heck of a lot crazier, I'm sure. So, what a blessing, man. What a blessing.
You know, there was a few times, and I think last summer was one of them too, where I was so consumed with the business. It does. You're right. It takes a lot of time. It'd be 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, and I'm still working. Not with just at people's houses. I'm doing the books. I'm figuring the next job. I'm rounding up supplies. And it's just, oh, my gosh. You know?
Yeah.
See, trying always, the balance was hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully I found it now. Hopefully I found it.
Seems like it's okay. I mean, I don't know.
You know, if I could get away from drywall.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, what are you going to do?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, drywall is chalky. It's dry. You know, if you can tell me, I'm in a dry season right now.
I'm in a dry place, yeah.
I'm in a dry place. So what do you think? What's going on for the future with you? We talked about how you're thinking about documentaries. Now, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by documentaries, documenting, things that have to do with Christianity or Christ or just people's testimonies or just real life experience? I don't know. What direction is that going in?
That's basically, you know, is all the above.
All the above?
Pretty much. Yeah. You know, testimonies need to be pushed out there.
Right.
Some people, the interesting part was like, the only documentary I did was back with Christian Ross. And his, you know, testimony from him leaving Satanism, and we set that all together. And I tell you what, I really enjoyed that process, the time, the production of it. And everybody has a story. I couldn't relate to his story because I never was in his shoes.
Right.
But to understand his process and the friendship we developed because of it, that needs to be put out for some, you know, whether it be somebody dealing with drug addiction and how they got set free through Christ, that needs documented. People struggle with this stuff daily, you know? We'd like to do a documentary on Shauna, how she got set free from anorexia.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unspoken topic.
Right.
So it's for the kingdom.
Yeah, yeah. Things that maybe are deemed shameful, I don't know, the way the world's going, it doesn't seem like it's so shameful now to do a lot of things that you get delivered from. You know, people just, everything goes now, you know. But, there is a need for a testimony. And I think I read a sermon by Smith Wigglesworth the other day about, you know, the testimony. And I was talking about, you know, you need to have the testimony. The testimony is like striking the match for the person that's saved. You know, they hear the testimony, they get excited, you know, because they've lost it because they sit stagnant. And when they hear a testimony, all of a sudden, boom, it's like, I got to do something here. I got to go tell some of my testimony. And it almost snowballs. You get a testimony, somebody
you know, gives their life to Christ, and then they have a testimony, and now you got two testimonies going out there, and then it turns into four testimonies and 12 testimonies, and then you have a revival going on, and you're wondering why you didn't do this before, you know?
And, you know, I've actually had to pull my own testimonies to survive in my spiritual walk.
Yeah.
You know, when I was going through, I mean, I've had moments of spiritual death. I've had moments of, oh my gosh, so many stuff. But I was like, when I had nothing, I could never deny the testimony of my first experience with God. I was like,
right.
Nah, yeah. He gonna pull me through this. If this is all I have left, if all my faith is saying God, at least I know you're real.
Yeah.
It's enough to pull me through the mess that I was in.
Hallelujah.
Because it did not get easier after my salvation. It got harder, but choosing to grow, you'll always be an overcomer.
Absolutely.
But it built you to where we're at today.
Yeah, well, I can attest
so
to that.
Necessary.
I mean, it does. It doesn't. Well, it gets easier, but it doesn't. Okay. From my experience, what is that? Lightning? I don't know what that sound is. Sounds like. Anyways, you know, it does. It gets harder, but I think things get revealed to you, and it you know, if you walk through things blindly, it's hard. It's really hard. But you can take the same situation, and if you're not walking through blind, that you can see, it's much easier. You know, you have direction, you have the sight, you can see where you need to go. And I think that's what happens when you give your life to Christ, that now you can see. You know, I hate to say it that way, but I was blind, now I can see. But it becomes easier, even though the situations may stay the same. Now you're able to cope with them, you know?
You're absolutely right. I have, you know, I've always talked to, ministered to people, and they're just like, why am I going through this? Why is this being thrown back in my face? Why is this so dark? Why do I feel Satan around me? I was like, you know what? The thing is, you've been in that darkness the whole time. God just revealed to you what it's been like and what it's truly like. It's time to set you free. He wants you out. That's why you're going through it.
Exactly.
He opened your eyes. You're ready to grow.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing that I've always only interested in this whole ministry, if so-called, or this whole walk. I want to see love just being expressed. I want I just want to see God's work, beautiful work. I want to see the rejected accepted. You know, I just have such a compassion for the body of Christ, and sad, because I'd love to see everybody accept, but it's free will choice.
It is free will choice, and but the main thing is, I think that you still have the drive, the desire to see somebody have, you know, anybody have the same experience that you had. You know, that's how great it is. You know, it's like you found that drug that was just awesome, and you're like, oh man, you're gonna try this, you know, and like, wow, that was great. You know, now you get saved, and you get this revelation. You're like, you go tell someone, and then they're like, screw you, get away from me, and you're like, you know. Like, you don't understand. You got to experience this. I don't want anything to do with that. Oh, man. You know?
Oh, be, boy. Yes.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Whatever. up to a point, but hey, it is what it is. Oh, man. Well, we banged out over an hour here, and I set it for an hour and a half in case we went a little bit over, but I don't want to tie you up too much. So why don't we wrap it up? And I don't know, do you have anything to say that you want to tell anybody, you know, what's going on, you know, something new coming out or anything?
You know, I got my studio in a mess right now. I can't turn on the music. I built that desk. It's
yeah.
In the studio.
I heard about that Amish desk you're building there.
Oh, so it's too cold for wood glue to dry out the garage. So I'm bringing everything in the house when I glue it up. So
yeah.
I'm stepping over wood clamps and panels, and I'm saying, oh gosh, this is never going to get done. But so the music, it's coming back soon. I just got to get through this phase. But oh my gosh, so many things are unfolding. Even things that I are seeing new right now, I never expected this to go in this direction, but I realize how much hope and the possibility, how real the possibility is of God bringing all those things that we've discussed and more to pass. I know what's happening. It's going to happen if we have the time to do so. But I'm just going to keep walking that until I'm done. Whenever that day may be, you know.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, to encourage anybody that is listening, don't deny yourself the dream, the vision God has given you. Just take one day, one step at a time. Because we have that patience of a God. Everything's just one day at a time. Chill out and enjoy life.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Well, hey, is there any song in particular you'd like me to send us out on here? Got anything in mind? Something you can give us a quick synopsis on, huh? You know, and we can play? I get the Final Breath, The Awakening, Rose of Sharon, Just to Live Again, Hall of Faith, Forward Appointment. That's a new one, right? Blessed Be, Distant Return. Blessed Be?
Oh, jeez. Oh, boy. I don't even know which one. I don't even know half the stuff I've written that anymore. You know, actually, I like Forward Appointment.
Okay. What's that about?
Forward Appointment is about moving forward. Because we dwell so much, and it was written at the new year. And that song actually was written in 24 hours.
Okay.
It was one of those, I just finished up Final Breath, and guys like, get this song out. I was like, oh my God, man, I ain't got time. But it came out, it was written in 24 hours. I put that video together in like 3 or 4 hours. It was like, pow, pow, pow. But
wow.
The intent of that song is let go of yesterday. Let go of yesterday's disappointment. Awaken for tomorrow. Awaken for today. Just keep moving forward. Don't let yesterday's troubles or past or mess, don't let it drag you back. Just let them go. Move on. We have a forward appointment to do. God has something for us to do. Let's do it. Just keep moving forward. No matter how hard it is, even if you got to crawl, every
right.
step forward is effort. And you'll get your prize as long as you keep walking.
Okay. Awesome.
That's all
right.
About.
All right, yeah. Well, we're going to play that song. We're going to play it and tell everyone, you know, you have your Reign and Redemption channel. I do have the link in the episode info. You can click on that. That'll bring you over to YouTube and to the Reign and Redemption channel. And Scotty and his wife, Sean, are the hosts of the 828 show. Robbie Rob's on there also on the TDC Radio Network. So that's blogtalkradio.com/TDC_radio. So you can check them there on Saturday night at 8 o'clock at night. And that's about it. So, hey, Scotty, thank you very much for coming on. I appreciate the time. And I hope your testimony has helped some people out there. And, you know, they want to get a hold of you, they can just go over to your channel, and there's an email link there, reigningredemption@gmail.com, I think it is. Is that it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. Well,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
bro.
You for having
thank
me, Luke.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. It was a joy. Tell your wife I said hello, and I'll be in touch with you to have her on in the next week or two. All right, brother?
Sounds good.
All right. So we're going to end the show now, and we're going to be leaving with The Forward Appointment by Scotty E. New music this year coming out. Go over to patreon.com/Scotty E, and you can listen to it and even download it. Become a headbanger. Give them a buck. Bang your head. All right. Here we go. The Forward Appointment. God bless. We're out.
Peace out.